Well, help me with the communion. The first thing he's telling me to tell you is communion. Jesus said, take this as often as you will. I mean, you could take it 3 times a day if you want. You take it at home 3 times a day. And you've got your prayer warrior friend with you to come into agreement and take this communion. I would very highly suggest you get on Joseph Prince Ministries and get his communion book. It costs $3 or $4. You can get it here fast. And get involved with that. I want you to know that your healing was paid for before your sins were. Because when Jesus went through his passion, he had to get scourged on his back. He had to get whipped. And we know that when he got those stripes on his back, it was for our healing. He paid for it 100%. The Bible tells us that it's by his stripes you were healed. That's past tense. 2,000 years ago. We just have to receive it. Just like our salvation, we were saved 2,000 years ago. We just didn't appropriate it till 1975 or 1992 or yesterday. It doesn't matter. But what is important is that he said, this is mine. I receive it. And it's by his broken body. His body was broken and bruised for us. And his body was pierced for us. Everywhere Jesus' body was pierced, he shed blood. When you take this communion, you look at that bread and you see Jesus' body. You see him on that cross. You see the sacrifice. I'm going to tell you something about God. When he looks at you, he looks at the sacrifice of Christ. When you look to him, you look at that sacrifice of Jesus, your high priest. You look at that sacrifice and you see yourself. You daydream about yourself. You see yourself as being healed and whole. As a complete work that God did in you through Christ. You daydream about it. You talk about it. You talk about what you would do being healed and whole. Where you would go. What you would do. Who you would help. What organizations you'd be involved in. See yourself being healed and whole. So we're taking this for our healing. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. That blood of Jesus is the most powerful substance we'll ever come in contact with. That blood of Jesus not only washed away our sins, but that blood of Jesus protects us. And that blood of Jesus seals in the New Testament promises for us. And it's because of that blood of Jesus that we can go into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in a time of need. We can go in there boldly. We don't go in there sleeking with our heads bowed. We go in there to our Father who loves us unconditionally. And we receive the help that we need from Him. That blood has made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That means we are in right standing with God. Nothing we could ever do could do that. Only the blood of Jesus could. We thank you for this. Praise God. Are we having children's church today? Now, where'd you get that Spotted Little Pony? Well, she was going somewheres. At least she is moving. You know, that's a perfect analogy of the church right there, the church and Jesus. You know, I used to break a lot of horses, and when I'd have a horse that just would not move out, there was nothing I could do for him. There was nothing I could do for him. I couldn't get him to go. I just tell the people, just come get him. There's nothing I can do for him. On the other hand, I'd have some that would really go. And we go crashing through the trees. And it was get to be a pretty wild event sometimes. But even if I had to use my hat, I could haze them around and get them somewhere. And we could eventually get stopped. I could do something with that horse. As wild as it might have been sometimes, at least I could do something with him. God's in the same position. People may seem like they're just wild, but they're moving. He can do something with them. He can get them reined in, and he can get them kind of circle back and start going in the right direction. Unfortunately, a lot of the church is glued to the pew. And they won't budge. And there's not much he can do about them. We need to at least be willing to move. Get out there and do something. Move. Let God figure out the direction. Let him figure out the what. We just need to be willing to get out there and get moving. Amen? All right. Open your Bibles up to the book of Acts. Chapter 2, verse 14. Now Peter, he came out of the upper room, and everybody was talking in tongues, and everybody was getting confused and wondering how these guys, they're talking our language. How's that happen? Verse 11 says, the Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what means this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my word. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Joel prophesied about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and people talking in tongues. That's part of the gospel. If there's no gospel, if there's no baptism of the Holy Spirit in the gospel, then there's no healing in the gospel. You got to understand this. Jesus is not a smorgasbord. I'm going to take what I like. I'm going to take a little of this. I'm going to take a little of that. I don't like this. Have you ever heard of a sacrificial Bible? I call it the NIV. I call them sacrificial Bibles. I don't mind ripping pages out of the NIV Bible. I was preaching in the Southern Baptist Church one day, and I started preaching, and I said, you know, there was some argument over a Christmas tree. They're about ready to have a church split over a Christmas tree. And I said, look, you guys need to stop this. And I said, you know, we can start taken pages out of the Bible. You know, I said, you don't believe this part of it, just rip it out, throw it away. You don't believe this part of it, you don't believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit, rip it out, throw it away. You don't believe in laying hands on people, healing, rip it out, throw it away. And I said, by the time we get done taking pages out of the Bible that you guys don't agree about, we're going to have a leather cover with maps. And you're going to be fighting whether that cover is made out of original leather or not. You got to lay your doctrine aside, pick up the Bible, and read it for what it is. Believe what you read. Don't read what you believe. That's important. Too many people are reading what they believe and not believing what they read. We must get it right. Believe what we read. See, if we read what we believe, well, there's some churches are just going to skip the book of Acts completely. They don't want to be involved with the Holy Spirit. Not in that way. We want the full thing. We want all of Jesus that we can get. Amen? But Joel made a prophecy. And I know you've heard that we have been seeing prophecies fulfilled before our eyes. This is one of them. Right here. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. There's coming a time we're going to see young people. You know, not all young people are crazy. We're going to see young people that are picking up the Word of God in the name of Jesus and going out on the street and getting people born again, laying hands on people and getting them healed, casting out devils and getting people baptized in the Holy Spirit. We're going to see that. And in fact, we are seeing it now. Don't get hung up on the idea that you know everything. Join them. Join them. Go have some fun. Go out there. Have some fun. Don't worry about looking like an idiot. Peter stepped out there and started speaking in tongues in front of all these people. And some of them said, oh, they're drunk on new wine. Don't be that person. Just go out there and do the things of God. Be bold in it. The stories I can tell you about the oil field and the Holy Spirit are just, some of them are just crazy, but it was fun. But don't be afraid to do the things of God out there. Verse 18 says, on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I'm glad God put that verse in the Bible. He qualified everybody. Men, women, young, old. He didn't make any differences. He called everybody. Get born again and get on with it. Get that baptism of the Holy Spirit and roll. He'll change a lot of things in your life that you just didn't realize were even possible. Verse 19, and here's the really cool one. We've seen this. We've been seeing it a lot. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Remember the tetrad of the blood moons? And I said, you watch, there's going to be some wild, wild things happen because the blood moon, the tetrads of the blood moons were falling in line with the feasts in Israel and all these things, all these important dates. And I said, and Obama was the president at that time. And I said, there's going to be some amazing things happen, not only to America, but to Israel. And Donald Trump got elected. And then look at all this other stuff that's going on. People have to have their head stuck in the sand to not see what's going on. All over the world, there's been signs and wonders happening. There's been vapor smoke coming up out of the ground. God's cleaning this whole earth up. He's cleaning our atmosphere up. It's been an amazing thing to watch. And a lot of people just turn it out. They say, that's just conspiracy stuff. That can't be happening. That can't be true. I cannot even begin to describe to you how evil the evil people in the government have been. And I can't even describe to you how glorious it has been to watch God clean this up. The signs in the heavens, and Israel is changing daily. The world is changing daily. We're changing daily. You don't know it, but you're not going to be the same when all this is over. You're going to be completely different. It's going to be a glorious event. Just hang on and ride out the storm. We just got just a little bit more time, but it can get a little bit rough. But I want you to understand who you belong to. The Good Shepherd. That He's going to guide you through this. He's going to lead you through this. We follow Him. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. And this is why it's so very important to get in here and read His Word so that you can become familiar with His voice and His leading. There's going to be false Christs out there. There's going to be people that say they're this or that, false prophets. They're already out there doing signs and wonders. Don't follow that. Do not ever get caught following signs and wonders. Follow only the Word. You know, you can see signs and wonders and not have one bit of the Word of God preached. I've witnessed that. Don't ever fall into that trap. You are to be led by the Spirit of God. You know, the world calls it the sixth sense. Because we've got our five natural senses. And then they have this thing that they can't figure out and they call it the sixth sense. They can't understand why these young children will say things, prophesy things, say things. You know, children will tell their dad, don't get on that airplane. Tell their mom, don't go to the store. Little children tell their parents, don't do this. And then they do it anyway. And disaster happens. And the world says, well, it's that sixth sense. No, it's Holy Spirit. That's His name. Little children are in tune with God. They're still spiritually connected with God until they get to the age of accountability where they have to choose one way or another whether they're going to be in the covenant with God or not. When they get old enough to make a decision for Jesus one way or another. Amen? That's why we know they haven't been old enough to make a choice. Amen? But he has been shown a lot of wonders in this world. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. That's a key verse right there. And I really wish people would just get a hold of that. All that call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Everybody. Our job is to go out there and witness to people, tell them about Jesus, sow the word of God in their hearts, and if they choose to get born again, praise God. If not, you did your job. Unfortunately, we got this secret code with a lot of people that say, okay, I'll witness to the people on that side of town, but I ain't going over there. I actually had a guy tell me one time that he was called to witness to the super wealthy. Okay. I've seen a lot of people said, I'm called to go to the PRCA and PBR. I was sitting there thinking, I said, man, why am I called to go to the prison? Is that the only place I get to preach is at jail? And I noticed there would be a line of preachers at every rodeo waiting to go preach at a rodeo or PBR or whatever. There's thousands of them wanting to preach there. There were too many people standing in line to go to the jail. And I thought, what is going on here? And I thought, what? And finally, one day it dawned on me. When you go to a rodeo, you pass a hat around and people fill it up with money. That ain't going to happen in jail. So I thought, okay. That's okay. God, take care of me that way. Now, all those people that were called to do all those fantastic things, I noticed they didn't end up doing those fantastic things. You know, when you join the workforce, you end up being a laborer. I mean, you know, you get some jobs that maybe not be all that much fun. You know, maybe you're not out there where people can see you. But the job still needs to be done. It's still important, and you still got to do it. And you go do that, and then pretty soon your boss says, man, that guy's faithful with that. He'll take you to the next spot. And then he'll take you to the next spot. And then pretty soon your peers are looking at you saying, why do you get all the good jobs? Well, every time he called me, I went. See, here's the thing now. God gives us the baptism of the Holy Spirit to power us up for the work of the ministry. And people say, okay, I want to do the cool things, man. I want to get it. I want to go see some miracles. I want to do some fun things. I want to do some wild things. I want to walk on water. I want to do this. I want to do that. And here's the thing. God's interested in availability. That's a key word. Availability. Are you available? Well, they say, yeah, I'm available. Just give me a call anytime. Okay, so he calls. But it's Monday night football. I can't go. Or it's my kid's basketball game. I can't miss my kid's basketball game. So he calls. So I need you to go over here and do this. But I've got bills to pay. I got a mortgage and I got a pickup payment. And if I go over here and do this, I won't be able to meet that payment. But you said you was available. He'll call and say, okay, there's somebody that needs help over here, but man, it's a long ways over there. I drive 30 miles to get over there. What really is going on is people are doubting God's ability to meet their need. I think one of the coolest stories, this guy said, this guy's a big time evangelist, obviously. He's got a jet airplane. Then God said, I need you to fly to Africa. Well, that's not just a little flight. I mean, you're not just going across the state, so it's going to take some cash. So he said, okay. So he flew to this city he was supposed to go to. Said, I need you to meet a man at this place. So he went over and met this man at this certain place, and the guy got born again. God said, that's good enough, go home. So the guy said, he was flying back from Africa, and he said, why did you send me all the way to Africa to get one man born again? Don't you know how much it costs? I said, yeah, it cost me my son. But he was available, and God met that need. Be available, and God will take care of the rest. That's easier said than done. God asked me to move 1,000 miles away from my home. I said, God, I love my church that I go to, and I got a company pickup, and I've never owned my own home before. I got this mortgage. I still got to pay it off. He said, you said you was available, Turkey. Let's hit it. We had to do some praying about it, but he took care of it. He took care of the pickup payment. He took care of the mortgage. He got the house taken care of. He took care of it. But are you available? Truly available? Can you just set down what you're doing, stop doing that, and go take care of somebody else's need? See, that's the truest form, the highest form of intercessory prayer you can do, and that's the highest form of love you can show. Stop doing what you're doing to go take care of somebody else. He's given you the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's giving you His will and testament, which means He's given you everything to meet all your needs. He's tooled you up. He's equipped you and said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So then we get choices. He said, I need you to go over here. So now we got a choice to make. Do I skip out on going and playing cards with my friends and go preach the gospel over here? Or do I go play cards with my friends and miss out on the opportunity to see something really, really cool? See, we're always faced with choices. I don't know how many choices we have to make every day, but it's a ton of them. Tons of them. But it's going to take the leading of the Holy Spirit to help us to choose the direction that we're going to go. Here's the thing. We live in a chaotic world. We live in a world full of commotion. We live in a world where we have so many distractions that it's so easy to get sidetracked. So it's hard for us to just get still and quiet so we can hear that still quiet voice on the inside of us. Every one of you have woken up at 2 or 3 in the morning and had the answer to the problem that you've been struggling with. Haven't you? You just all of a sudden just woke up in the middle of the night and had your answer. You just intuitively knew what to do, didn't you? Why is that? You finally got that fine-tuned thinking machine to stop. You got your body still and you got quiet and you could hear God. You could hear Holy Spirit talking to you, giving you the answer. Some of the hardest answers we struggle with are the ones we try the hardest for. We get so focused on finances. We get so focused on healing. We get so focused on whatever, instead of focusing on just Jesus. We need the blessing. Don't get me wrong. We need the blessing, but it's wrapped up in the blesser. So when we stop focusing on the blessing and focus on the blesser, the blessing will happen to us. Amen? Well, thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that you do for us every day as our high priest, leading us and guiding us, showing us how to rightfully divide your word of truth, showing us which way to go, whether to go left, right, stop, stay, go, move, for taking care of us. Most importantly, you did everything for us. And all we really have to do is just reach out and grab it. You've already freely given it to us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have a lot of food back here. So everybody come back and have some fellowship.